Welcome to season two of God Will Never Fail Her. I'm your host, Jasmine. Over the next 12 months, you'll hear 12 real stories, one each month, from people who have made the life-changing decision to follow Christ. Revelation 12:11 says, "They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." This is a season of victory, boldness, and sharing the stories of God's power working in our lives. Hello, my faithful friends. Welcome back and welcome to episode number 5. Today I have Allie. I'm really excited to have her today. She serves with me at church at Redemption and she has a very powerful testimony. So I'm excited to share it with all of you. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So starting with our first question, I want you to tell us about your childhood. What was your life like growing up, especially with the early influences around you, like alcohol and spiritual confusion?
I think that I think we're all created very special. You know, God created each one of us for a very special reason. We don't know what it is. But I think that the enemy likes to really attack children, because if he can set the confusion in young, it makes it really hard to unravel later on.
That's so true.
Especially for me in like a household where I had people around me that were believers in Christ, but to themselves. Like, we didn't talk about Jesus. We didn't go to church. Like, we weren't baptized. We didn't. I mean, I didn't even know my dad read the Bible until I was an adult, you know? So I think a lot of women in particular can identify with sexual trauma, right? It comes in various forms. It can come in, you know, things that are more intense and some that are the discomfort inside of you, right? Like, there's like a big varying degree of sexual trauma or, you know, things that can happen. And for me, the devil was in my home. I experienced sexual trauma from a family member. It was a very confusing situation because he was also my favorite family member, right? So like, and when I look at that time, that relationship didn't just cause that trauma, that really terrible sexual trauma, but it stifled all of these things that lit me up. So I have children now. And you can see, like, these things that set their soul on fire. Really young, right? It could be whatever. For me, it was, like, music, singing. It was performing. It was, you know, sports. It was athleticism. It was, there's, like, all these things, you know? And he, through, like, various moments, tainted those. You know, and took away this joy, so that when I would think about doing this thing that really lit me up, it made me feel dark and dull and like just blah, right?
Took so then the joy out of it.
Yeah, and even if those things as a kid aren't what my purpose was, like, right? Like, I'm not gonna say like, oh, I was meant to be a worship singer, like, that's, who knows. But as a Christian mother, it is my job to teach my kids how to recognize the Spirit, how to recognize God, right? How to recognize, like, when we are being led. And I think God likes to use those things that set our soul on fire to lead us towards something, right? For me as a kid, now I'm like, these things that once brought me joy are now tainted. This internal confusion. And God is not in confusion. God is very clear cut. If I'm feeling confused, then I am not.
That's
in
not
God's
from
will.
God.
Absolutely not. You know, there's something else going on, whether it's in me just because it's the flesh or if it's because something else is happening, you know? So there's that. And then sexual trauma invites things like the spirit of Jezebel, like we were just chatting about, right? It invites these other things to come in and have a stronghold. All of this stuff happened under the age of 10. Okay, so we have the sexual trauma, we have the internal confusion, we have a divorce from my parents that happened when I was like 5. mm-hmm. that was also very traumatic. Mm-hmm. My mom, she was no longer in the picture. She was out somewhere else. I'm not going to share her business, but she was gone. So it was just my dad, me, and my brother. So there's all the things that come with that. The broken family, there's the moving around, there's the secret inside of me because no one knew what was going on. My dad did the best he could. You know, my dad loved me and he gave us everything we could ever want. There's only one of him. And he comes with his own set of stuff. Yeah. He's also an adult that's had his own set of stuff. So that's just like a little snippet. Children are like, so what do they have to worry about?
You innocent know? And pure. So and the enemy tries to
just take that to right away. Take it. The Bible talks a lot about children, about the youth. And I don't think that's just children. I think that we could be grown and still be very young. Right? Because we are undeveloped in our spiritual maturity, in our mental maturity, in our emotional maturity. And children, so we come this way. We have no guidance. We don't know what we're doing. I was left to navigate the world and my complex feelings and my complex issues by myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know anything about Jesus. I know nothing about Jesus. God didn't cause that to happen to me, you know, mm-hmm. but I just look back at my childhood and I'm just like that had to have been whispers from him. Something was talking to me and I really believe it was God. I think God was like seeking me because he watched me be pursued by the enemy. So I had this like thing inside of me that knew that God was there. Mm-hmm. The idea of God was just from like, random people talk about Jesus at Christmas or you see people crying on a TV show or something, you know?
Tiny seeds. You're in there.
Yeah, I just knew that God was there, and I knew that God loved me. Fast forward to me being as a teenager, trauma and spiritual wickedness and all that stuff is very insidious. Mm-hmm. It lies in wait until it's ready to come out and play. I am a preteen. And I got introduced to alcohol, and I got introduced to what it felt like to be adored by other men or boys. I think it's very normal. I think there's like, the truth is that we are fleshly humans, and we have hormones, we have growth, we have these growth spurts. By God's design, we hit these certain milestones. God set us up for success. Mm-hmm. Why we fail is not a direct result of like God's creation. We, you know, go through puberty, and if we have foundation in Christ and family who can guide us, then we learn about why we are precious, why we need to take care of ourselves, why we don't just go out and do things with anybody. What's the value of marriage and what's the value of waiting? Mm-hmm. And there's all these things you start to like talk about as you become older and you start to understand. And you know, you're still a child, you don't have it mastered, but there's like this opening for conversations to happen. And left to my own devices, there's nothing.
No guidance.
None.
Yeah.
None. And so these things make me feel good and happy and wanted and important. I did not know the love of God.
Yeah.
You know, and as much as people around me loved me, no one can fill the God-sized hole.
No. Those are all temporary.
It's temporary, and it is just, it's never going to be fulfilling.
Yeah.
We plant the seed, we tend to the seed, you know, we water the seed, we give it light and sunshine, things start to grow, we still tending while it grows, and then when the fruit is ripe, we harvest.
Yes.
Right? And so if there is no seed planted and things are just thrown at you, it is very rarely a gift from God.
Different seeds can be thrown at you that aren't from God.
Yes, you know, and so that seed was planted as a kid from various places, and something was tending to them, and I come of age, and here's the fruit of Jezebel.
Yes.
Welcome.
Yes.
You know?
No, you're unwelcome.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
You know? And so very quickly, things spiraled. Mm-hmm. Just so quickly. I mean, before I didn't even graduate high school. I was introduced to drugs. I was introduced to boys. I was introduced to anything that could change the way that I felt.
Yeah.
Because I could not cope. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I couldn't cope. So I get this like moment of clarity when I'm like, you know, almost about to graduate high school. I'm like, ooh, I should probably get my high school diploma. So I was like, we're going to take a break from the lifestyle of drugs and boys. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get my GED. Mm-hmm. And I did. And, you know, it wasn't all dark and dim and dreary. I did sports. I was very athletic. And I had friends that were in sports. When you're medicated, when you're self-medicating, you cannot truly feel or participate in the love of others. It just, something numbs you. It really takes away, like, your ability to connect. And so I never had true, deep, meaningful relationships with people. Fast forward, lots of that happening. I go to college. I try to do something different. I decide I'm going to be like everybody else in society and have a boyfriend and a job, not party anymore. And I just wanted to be different. I think that just God was watching, because there were these moments where I would realize that it wasn't right. And some of that, I think, is morals and values from family. I no longer wanted to sleep around. I wanted to be committed to one person. Yeah. I no longer wanted to be a pathological liar. Mm-hmm. I was going to learn to tell the truth. I no longer wanted to dress in a way that wasn't honoring to myself.
Yes.
It wasn't about God. It was about me, right? Mm-hmm. And these are kind of things we see throughout the Bible that we're taught. We live in a society that's very anti, mm-hmm. and even more so now than when I was a kid. Yeah, so I get to college and I decide that's okay for a while, but eventually all of those things came back up because I had no foundation in God. Mm-hmm. I didn't know God. I didn't know. I had, another dark place that I went in search. And this time it was harder drugs with a sicker man. I found myself out here in San Francisco in the Tenderloin looking for drugs with mm-hmm. this guy that was kind of crazy. I had another aha moment where I was like, this is not the way. And the aha moment was not by myself. He kicked my car in and I couldn't lie to my dad anymore because I was living at home. I wasn't like, he's not high. Yeah. He just looks weird, dad. What are you talking about?
Don't
judge him. Your intuition's definitely wrong.
You're off.
Off, dad. You know? But he kicked my car and we had to call the police. And I had to be like, I got into recovery. The people in my family that struggle with substances have done recovery. I knew that it worked. When I got into recovery is where I started to truly meet God. Yeah, because I was 23. That's my childhood in a nutshell. Was that a nutshell? It's a pretty big nutshell.
But it proves that God is really in the details. He's in the details of every aspect of your life. And
yes. In my journey to accepting Jesus as Lord and believing all that he did for our salvation, God really pursued me. And I went through all the other avenues.
The real pursuer.
Dude, the pursuer. Like calling my name.
Yeah.
When I was reading in the Bible, I was like a baby. So I did what all baby Christians do is we start at the beginning. In the beginning.
That's right.
So we didn't start in the Gospels. That's not where we started. We started in the beginning.
I always tell everyone, Gospels.
Gospels. First. No, yeah. I didn't do that. I was like, we got to start at the beginning. That's the beginning of the book, right?
Yeah, and then the beginning is like so intense. You're like,
girl.
What?
Yeah.
All these suns and these suns and these suns.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he created the stars for signs. I was like,
what signs?
Yeah. Astronomy is real, you know? Am I a Cancer?
No.
So I was like, what's happening, you know? But I think it's in Deuteronomy, but his name's Balaam, and he was a pagan prophet. Mm-hmm. Pagan now is different than then. The Hebrews, the chosen people, were the people that talked to God. Mm-hmm. That was God's people. And so he was leading them through the desert, through all the places, and they were taking all this land. Mm-hmm. And a king, I think his name was Beor, he was seeing them. And he was like, if they come, they're going to take everything that I have. Look at all of these people. Because God started to multiply the people. He took them out of Egypt. And he started multiplying all these people. So he's like, I'm going to go to the guy in town that everyone goes to, medium. And he's like, I'm going to go to that guy. Everyone knows this guy lives in a cave. I'm going to have him curse them to protect me. So Balaam comes out and he's like, okay, but I only do what my God says. And he's talking about the same God that the Hebrews were praying to. Mm-hmm. It's that same God. Mm-hmm. He's like, so he goes into his secret place and he prays. He's like, what do you want me to do? Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you, God. Mm-hmm. And he comes out and he blesses them. Oh. And he does that three times. And when I'm reading the story, I'm like, God is talking to people that aren't Christian? Mm-hmm. Because I had such a intimate relationship with whatever God I was understanding. And I was always seeking him, the Father. I was always in search of the Father. Like, God knew my heart posture, even when I was a mess. Mm-hmm. God knew that inside I was in search of him. But when you get baptized and you come and you know Jesus, you're like, was I talking to Satan? Was that God? There's a lot of confusion. And I just was like, okay, maybe not all of it was God. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely moments where it was God. Mm-hmm. Answering me, working on me, doing that refining thing that we read about, where he refines the heart, working on me so that I could come into church and give my life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was all of these moments, even when I was practicing witchcraft and stuff. Yeah. I'm calling to these other spirits and God's back here like, hello.
Down there.
Yeah. I'm back here. You know? Yeah, over here, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful. I really am.
Yeah. It's a moment where you just feel so unworthy. You're like, why me? But he's so good. And
God is
so faithful.
So good. He is so good. He's calling the shepherd seeking his lambs. I was trying to explain to my little 4-year-old how God made us special and how he wrote his name on our palms and how he had designed our lives and put our names in the book before God created the heavens and the earth, right? In his meeting.
On our head.
Yes, but in his meeting with him, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, that he already designed you. If all of us come from that place, then there is no way that he's not seeking you too. Mm-hmm. There's just no way. Mm-hmm. There's the people in the Muslim countries mm-hmm. where they could be beheaded in the street mm-hmm. for reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jesus is coming to them in dreams, mm-hmm. finding people in their dreams and leading them to undercover Christians.
Yeah.
There's stories of Jesus is pursuing. No one is too far.
He's really miraculous, though, in that way where he can come into any corner, any darkness, any place he wants to. He can show up.
Yeah, yes, he can light mm-hmm. a lamp in any place.
Exactly.
He really can. Mm-hmm.
He is the lamp.
He is the lamp.
How did those early experiences shape your understanding of yourself and the world?
Mm. Well, when I was a teenager, I believed that God had a plan for our lives, but that it could be a crappy one. Mm-hmm. And that you could reincarnate and try again. And that if you had a crappy life, that it was because you were making up for something that you did before. The whole idea of reincarnation. But I remember this one moment where I was just so tired. I was so tired because even though I'm willingly participating in the drugs and the dating and all the things, I felt internally sick. Like, it did not align. I felt a lot of shame. I felt a lot of disgust. I felt
guilt.
Yeah, I felt just like, I felt icky. Mm-hmm. I remember getting, I didn't even make it into the house. I got like dropped off by my friend and like I crawled on the floor and hid between two cars in front of my house. And I was on my knees and I was like sobbing, praying to God. I know that this is the life you chose for me, but I just need a break. Please, like I just need a break. We talk a lot about strongholds and they're like these thought processes that we have, but there's also these habits that we have that are so intense, and nothing is too big for God to break. God could do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. He made a donkey talk. He could break the bonds if we give them to him, mm-hmm. if we lay them at his feet. But if we don't know that that's the jam, we don't know that that's the way the kingdom is set up, that we're carrying things that are too heavy for us to carry. God made us needy.
Yeah.
We are needy and we are weak and we are vulnerable so that we will seek him. Because mm-hmm. only he could do that. I didn't know this. Not only was I carrying the strongholds of my thought, but like I was addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
I was hooked. There was the physical withdrawal, but also who am I without? Who am I without this stuff? What do you mean? I have to go and have normal conversations with people. How do you participate in life? How are you guys doing that? Mm-hmm. Like just going about life. Like I just didn't even know. I thought most people were liars. I thought that Christians were crazy. I thought that y'all had drank the Kool-Aid. You know?
We have.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. The verdict's in. It's the blood.
Amen.
You know what I mean? But I thought that people just were full of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty dark way to view stuff.
Yeah.
Those tools that as parents, it's our job to teach. I didn't have those. So I started using things like control. I started having like really bad anxiety because I'm holding on to these things. When you experience like some big traumas and then you start using substances and there's no intervention, you kind of get stunted at an age. If you started doing that stuff at 9, you're probably going to be 45, still 9. You're 9 years old on the inside. And you're thinking and your emotional well-being. If you haven't
dealt with it and let God heal you from it.
Yes, you're like stuck. Life is happening, but I'm still kind of a 12-year-old mess. It was a pretty dim and dark place to be for sure.
Yeah, prior to knowing him.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
At what point did you realize you needed something different, something more than what you'd known?
Well, getting my car kicked in was pretty embarrassing.
Well, that would be a big one.
That was a big one. That was because...
With your dad.
Yeah, because I liked to be a private drug addict. I had my teeth brushed. I had showered. You were
functioning.
Very functioning. I had, I had a couple jobs. I had good grades, good sports. I was athletic. But when everyone went to sleep, I would sneak out of my house and I would go have the lifestyle that I was like seeking in another city.
Yeah.
Where nobody knew me or my family. So when that happened, my walls of secrecy started to crumble because I had to start explaining things. The fear of my dad knowing the truth was worse than anything else. I don't know why. My dad would never hurt me or anything, but I just couldn't let him down. My dad was like one of the few people that had always dedicated himself to me and my brother. I couldn't let him down. So I called my mom and I asked her to help me find a meeting. People don't know this, but AA was started by a Christian and a doctor. Mm-hmm. So when you read the literature, it's like a setup for church.
Mm-hmm.
That we have our version of tithing. We have our version of service. We have our version of turning things over to God. They have their own verbiage. If you live and breathe the program and you move into church, it's kind of like an easy switch over. That's when I knew I knew I needed something different because I needed to try something different. And then when I got there, I was introduced to this idea that the God that I had known did not have to exist like that, because although they're not allowed to talk about this God that we know, Jesus Christ, the literature there talks about how this is not biblical. They say like there's no wrong or right way to believe in God. We're not dogmatic, but if God is hurtful, if he is putting you down, if he is hateful, that's not God. You're praying to the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that my God could be big and beautiful and loving and want something good for me was like, like the gates had opened. We can only meet God. We can only meet Jesus however our mind lets us. Like the story of the Messiah in his hometown. Mm-hmm. He was the Messiah in his hometown, did no good works.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't let him because he was just Joseph's son. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't low way. Running around in diapers. If I think that God is a hateful, spiteful being, then I will not be able to experience the full depths of his love.
The fullness of it.
The fullness of it. I could not. Something turned inside of me that was a whisper from God. It was.
It clicked.
Something happened because something inside of me said, if I believe that God is this good, then how could I hurt myself like that?
Mm-hmm.
How could God have made any mistakes?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read the Bible to know that, but something inside of me was like, how could I? And it just started this like snowball effect. First, I was like, I'm not using harmful chemicals in my shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
No more makeup, you know? Yeah. Like, what's
organic?
Organic. What's an underwire bra? Yeah. I didn't want to change anything about me anymore. Mm-hmm. I wanted to truly accept the way God created me, which is hard. I just turned 24. So it just clicked for me.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I feel like a lot of people don't. No, I mean, I didn't know until you told me that AA was created by a doctor and a Christian.
Yeah, he was just a Christian man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, back in the days, most people were Christian. They had some sort of basis in faith,
you know? It's crazy that way that they set it up, it's rooted in God's truth and it creates...
Talk about God.
All these truths in your life.
Getting his fingers in there.
The real breaker of our strongholds, though.
Yeah, because it doesn't produce a lot of Christians or anything. You're either a Christian or you're not. Addicts come from dark places.
Mm-hmm.
Those people tend to feel abandoned by God.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a beautiful idea that God set it up so that these people are used to the way that the kingdom is run.
Yes.
So if they choose to turn it over, they've already worked on the fear of letting go. Mm-hmm. They have already worked on laying the crowns at the feet.
Yeah.
They've already worked on being of service to others, mm-hmm. of tithing mm-hmm. every time they mm-hmm. go. They've mm-hmm. already had these practices. Mm-hmm. It's something they truly believe in. I was thinking before I got here, like, everything that I say or think now is totally subject to revision.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, absolutely.
Because can you imagine what, like, a testimony would look like in 10 years?
You have new testimonies throughout your whole life.
Yes, because mm-hmm. you grow, you mature, your faith matures. God gives you a new understanding.
He reveals something new to you.
Reveals, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, some people get memories. Some people get just new verbiage. If you would ask me, you know, in the beginning, like, or even a year ago, what I would have thought about my life, I wouldn't have been able to give you all this. Mm-hmm. I just keep reading scripture and I still go to therapy, you know, and so I'm still there. And so things change, you know, over time.
That's the life of faith, though. Your entire life until the day we meet him.
Yes.
We're being sanctified. Refined,
yes.
Sanctified. We're growing. And that's how it's meant to be.
Yes, yes.
The day you give your life to God is not the day where everything's perfect.
No.
We're going to battle and struggle for the rest of our life.
Yes.
But with him by our side.
Yes. And I think we live in a time where people really like to be rigid. Mm-hmm. They're like, you said this thing, so you must be this way. But I think one of the really hard truths, and this is hard for me sometimes, is that, like, when I say no one is too far for Jesus to reach in his hands and make someone new. If God can make anything new, the Bible tells us that when you are baptized, you are made new in Christ, mm-hmm. then why can't we change and grow over time? Mm-hmm. All of this is said, like, with a humble understanding that God could be like, absolutely not. Wrong.
Yeah.
No, you know?
Actually.
You forgot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And that's why it's so important for us to have an intimate and personal relationship with our Bible. Because that is God. That is Christ.
A fresh word, girl.
Exactly.
A fresh word. Like, how beautifully designed. Mm-hmm. That you could read it your whole life. Commentaries and dictionary Bibles and still not know it all. Mm-hmm. Isn't that why? I mean, there's some things that never change, you know? Mm-hmm. It just keeps
transformative. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. it is. And I think it's also kind of the perk. I said this in our Bible study. I don't know if you've seen that. I said, like, it's kind of the perk of being a person in America reading the Bible in English. Because when we study the Bible, we have to learn the context, the Hebrew and Greek words, which are always so rich and complex. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yet we're constantly having our mind blown.
Oh my gosh. I love those aha moments where God is just blows my mind. I'm like, whoa.
Blows my mind. Yes, girl. There's some things that I don't really know. I don't know what the Bible says, and I don't know if I'll ever truly know, because I don't think we're supposed to know it all.
We will never know it all.
No.
Our God is so big, so great.
Yeah.
I think, how big is he really if we knew everything?
I don't think we could even contain
it.
I think our brains would pop.
10%.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe.
My brain's only working at 10% capacity. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Gosh.
When a faith-based AA program came into your life, what role did God play in that season?
Well, yeah, I guess faith-based would be an okay word, but not Jesus-based, right? Because it talks about, like, turning your will and your life over to God as you understand him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so there's, like, a lot of very technical verbiage. Mm-hmm. He started to call my name. And I didn't know that until now. God called my name for a long time. I remember I was, like, 21 and I worked at a Starbucks. And I was on the bus going to work. And I just had this, like, random thought that I would like to read the Bible. It was, like, nothing that serious. I don't even know why mm-hmm. I had the thought, mm-hmm. because I had never thought about the Bible before, ever. That could have just been, like, the God already, you know? I don't know. In my mind, headphones in, and just popped in, and I was like, yeah, maybe I'll go grab one. It just popped out, you know? And I get to work, and I walk in the doors, and at that Starbucks, we had a lot of regulars. A lot of people, we knew everyone's name and everyone's order by heart and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I knew all the people that came in,
mm-hmm.
and a regular was like, have you met Pastor Marlon? And I was like, I have not, but that's very strange because I just thought about the Bible. He's like, I have one for you. And he gave me a Bible.
Oh.
Yeah. Did I read
it? That's so sweet.
I didn't. I was jealous. My friend had a prettier Bible. But I did go with him and his family to church. Mm-hmm. And they were so sweet and so kind. And I loved them. But I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. But there were so many moments like that that God had called on me. Mm-hmm. So when I had gotten into recovery and I started to unravel some of the trauma. One of the things that's good about recovery is it gives you a set of, they call them spiritual principles, which are pretty close to the biblical principles we have, kind of. They're definitely not rooted in biblical stuff, but it's things like when you mess up, you go apologize and do it promptly to make amends for the wrongs we had done, as long as it's not going to hurt anybody. There's things like learning to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand him. Mm-hmm. There's the belief in restoration of sanity. There is a daily inventory where you check your, like, how'd I do today? Was I mean? Was I thoughtful? Mm-hmm. They teach you to look at the life you lived and think about what your true morals and values are, and if you were living in accordance with them, and if you weren't, which none of us were, how can you become more like that? So there's like all of these things that recovery does for you. It starts to really, you start to become the person that you are supposed to be, not the person that was covered up by trauma and, you know, violence and substances and, you know, whatever your stories is. It starts to come up. Some of that stuff needs to be taken to therapy, but there's this camaraderie where like people feel safe to share these intimate things with them, because one of the things they talk about is like, everything in the darkness has to come to light. Mm-hmm. Again, this isn't a biblical program, but that founder, I think it was like a set up. Some of these things, they sound like scripture.
Yeah.
You know, and when I read scripture, I'm like, oh, that's very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. That must have been what inspired some of this stuff. So that started to really open me up to this thing. I still had this thing for Christianity, though. This is what I used to believe. That, like, it doesn't matter who you're praying to. There's only one God listening. There's only one God. Even when I was, you know, practicing pagan stuff, and a lot of people are like building altars to like many different gods, Athena, or I don't even remember their names anymore. Yeah, Baal, or yeah, like in the Bible, they have all these ones. The golden calf. That's like a real thing. Mm-hmm. People idolize a cow.
Yeah.
You know, there's no judgment, but it's just like, I'm like, the Bible literally said that they came down and they made a golden cow.
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. But I believe that there's only one God listening. There can only be one God. There's no way that there's more than one God. I was like, we as humans just need to personify stuff. It makes us connect better. So we have, like, you know, the God of war. People are praying to this God of war because our minds need to compartmentalize. I wasn't with it. So I was like, but I need to seek God. But I found a lot of connection with nature. I love nature. Me feel really happy. All the pagan stuff is in nature. So it led me that way into all the paths. It started with just praying to God, and then it started to be like, oh, what witchcraft is real? Oh, what's Wicca? Let me read all of that. Oh, they have holidays that aren't like society. I want to be different than society. I don't believe in society. Those are Christian things. Like, if I don't believe in Jesus, why am I participating in Christmas, right? There's like all these things that start to unravel. Mm-hmm. Hollywood's so comfortable talking about everything but Jesus. Mm-hmm. Even when Jesus is the answer, they don't say it. Mm-hmm. As a pagan, you start to recognize and idolize and feel seen by Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Because you're recognizing sigils. You're recognizing holidays. You're recognizing verbiage. And so you start to feel seen. But there was still this thing that was like, what? Like, but there's still a God. Mm-hmm. There's still a God, a good God. People must be bad. There's good people and bad people, good witches and bad witches, good pagan practices and evil pagan practices. There are some things, like if you're using blood and you're sacrificing things, that's the bad stuff. We only stay over here with the good stuff of light. We are light workers. Mm-hmm. It's like the things we would say, you know, I'm the most high priest. It's silly now because I know the truth. You just feel so justified because you're seeing it everywhere.
Yeah. And you don't realize it's really self-seeking.
Ugh. Girl, so self-seeking. It's a setup for failure. It's literally Satan's setup for failure. Mm-hmm. There's like two things that come to mind when I think about like all the... I just use pagan to just name any belief that's outside of Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't necessarily mean just like witchcraft. I mean any of it. Anything that's not rooted in Jesus Christ, is a pagan practice. That's just what
Absolutely. Modern day.
Yes.
Pagan practice.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Two things come to mind. One, I heard someone say one time, I don't remember who said it. He said that, like, the most powerful thing that Satan has done is convince people he's not real.
Yeah, it's true, though.
So,
yeah.
Like, so as a pagan practicer, I'm like, okay, so if Satan's not real, there's only good people and bad people. Energy is neutral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is my job to enlighten myself.
Yeah.
To heal myself.
Yeah.
To raise my vibration.
Yeah.
Since we're vibrating cells, says science, so that I can get more of what I want.
Yes.
That sounds like such a
self-manifestation.
Yes. Such a crock.
Yeah.
Ah. Because I can't save myself.
No.
It's incomplete. It contradicts itself. Because you're praying to something more powerful than you, saying that you have the power. Mm-hmm. There's like a saying amongst the communities. Like, if we are all part of the same energy, then there is a piece of God in me, and therefore I am like God. Mm-hmm. I remember when I had the aha moment that I needed to repent for that. Yeah. Blasphemy. Yeah. I had to repent. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what blasphemy was.
Yeah.
You know, like, you hear people and they're like, blasphemy. And you're like, I just assumed it meant BS, you know? And so a lot of people who practice that stuff have a lot of mental health stuff.
Yes.
Because they think there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting better. Life isn't getting better. But we are not supposed to be the ones that create a good life. God gives us everything. If it is not from God, then it's worthless. Yeah, it's just such a setup to make you feel like you're worthless.
And it's so freeing when you come to that conclusion, like, anything good in my life is from Christ. It's nothing. I could do nothing that creates this much goodness in my life. No matter how much manifesting and all these things that I think I'm doing on my own, it's really all the goodness is from God. And it's so freeing to know that.
Yeah, that I am not inherently bad. Mm-hmm. I am not inherently not good enough. There's nothing wrong with me. It's not me. God created me in all his wonderful goodness. You know, like, I am an image of God. Mm-hmm. God created me in his image. Mm-hmm. How could I be, like, insufficient?
Yeah.
That's my stronghold. The stronghold is the thought that I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, the stronghold is that, like, I need my family to give me a lot of attention to feel like I'm good enough. Mm-hmm. That's a stronghold. Mm-hmm. That's not God. That's what the enemy has done.
Yeah. The thoughts.
Yes. We learned about this in church, mm-hmm. right? Like, if no weapon formed against me shall prosper, if Jesus Christ has defeated all principalities and all spiritual wickedness in high places, then we've already won.
Mm-hmm. We're already in victory.
We already are in victory, but Satan is the ruler of this world.
Yes.
And that means that he can manipulate our thoughts if we let him.
Yeah.
If we let him.
We have to call on Jesus' name.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. and continue to do the work.
Yeah.
In my mind, I would have never thought that he would have worked on me in the way he did. And I had kids. I was getting ready to teach my first, I have an older son, but my first from my body son, I was like trying to think, like, how am I going to teach him these pagan holidays that I've been practicing? How am I going to teach him to work on nature or whatever? And when I had my son, I became a stay-at-home mom. So I'm at home with my son and I'm lonely and I'm struggling and I am on YouTube trying to find mothers like myself. Mm-hmm. It's just to, I'm like, is this normal? Like, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, I didn't have any mom friends yet. And I remember, I think I was pregnant with my second son. I had the aha moment that all of the women who I adore are all Christian mothers. And then I was like, do we have the same morals and values? Mm-hmm. You know, like, not all Christians have drank the Kool-Aid, right? Like, mm-hmm. they're not all crazy. I thought they were just, like, the people that come to my door and give me a pamphlet. People that, like, force themselves on you. Mm-hmm. I started to think, like, oh, maybe I need to reevaluate my judgment of others. Mm-hmm. Slowly, God started to change. And in the meantime, every time, like, talk about God protecting my children. Like, just truly. Because every time I thought about something I was going to do to teach my kid the pagan practice, something stopped me. Mm-hmm. My children have never been taught anything like that. They only know of Jesus. And so, slowly, I started to feel open to it. Those women were, like, ministering to me. Mm-hmm. They didn't know it, I think maybe they probably do. If they're Christians, they know that God's using them, right? Yeah. Like, that's how it is. But they were changing my heart so that one day I could walk into my church and give my life to Christ.
That's so beautiful.
It is. Yeah. God is so good. He is so good. Because in those communities, it's like, oh, God, it's almost like embarrassing. Because it's like, they use this verbiage to make it sound cool. Like, when you're sky clad, girl, they're talking about being naked. They're like, if you do witchcraft, like your spells, sky clad with music that you have made yourself, dancing, it increases the vibration and you will get what you want. That sounds like insanity to someone that's like read the Bible.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
like, ma'am, they warned us against those. You know? No. Yeah. God said no. You know? But I didn't. You know, I was like, okay. Yeah, and I tried it one time, and I felt the spirits come, and I said, absolutely not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I threw that cloak away, and I ain't never do nothing sky clad again.
Yeah.
You know, because it really does. It invites
it's
something.
It's inviting other things in.
It is not God.
Yeah.
And I, again, some sort of discernment inside of me was like, I don't know what that is, but it is giving me the heebie-jeebies, and I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, and you feel it deep in your spirit. Like, you feel that something's off, something's wrong.
Yes, even before you understand what conviction is, what, you know, angels fighting on your behalf. I mean, who knows what my angels were doing that day.
Yeah.
You know, because something still made it into my backyard to look at me.
Yeah.
You know, like, was waiting for me. Because my angels were like, girl, why are you making it so hard? You know, what's up?
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes I'm like, God probably... He doesn't do this, but in my head, I'm like, he's probably like, come on, bro. Like, come on.
Girl.
I'm making it easy for you, and you're making it hard on yourself.
You are making it hard. Yes. I would like to believe that God has a sense of humor. I would really like to believe it, you know, but I don't know. Yes.
You mentioned being around occult practices like crystals and stuff. Mm-hmm. How did that impact your spiritual journey and your search for truth?
I think... that, well, for one, it really gave me a insight to that community. This is just based on my experience. There's like nothing written that I've read yet, like in the Bible, that says this is true or not. If the shepherd is seeking his lamb, if he's hunting for them, if he's looking for them, if he's trying to call them home, I would imagine that he puts out some sort of something for them to come. There are nuggets of Christ in places you don't think Christ is. And again, in the rooms, right? Like in recovery, you wouldn't think, but there are nuggets. There was a nugget in that Wicca practice that was saying, like, if you don't understand the darkness, how could you protect yourself from it? At the time, that felt like an invitation for me to learn about dark occult practices, which I previously stayed away from. But now I feel lucky to know what's going on, because I can equip myself and my children against like the realities, and I have a tender heart for those practicing pagan practices, because that belief that there's good witchcraft and bad witchcraft, or good practitioners and bad practitioners, is not true. All those practices are bad. They're all bad, all of them. If you're not praying to God, you're praying to something else.
Yeah. And there's only two spirits. There's only two spirits. God's and the enemies.
That's it. I know that a lot of those people are searching for what we have. They want to feel full and loved. And they want to feel successful in their lives. And they want to protect their families. And they don't want to be living on the streets anymore. There's all these things people are doing to try to get basic needs met, or to reverse many generations of stuff. No one seeks those things out because they're like inherently evil. Evil is put inside of us. Meeting all these people that are good people, that are really quite offended when I talk about. There are people that are like, Allie went to church? To church. She what? She got baptized? She what? Because they would call me for spiritual advice. And I think that a lot of people who grew up maybe in the church and never, like, went out into that place, it's really hard to accept the fact that there is truly this darkness out there.
Yeah.
That it's very, mm-hmm. there's like a blanket of darkness on people. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're literally wearing glasses.
It's a veil.
There's a serious, mm-hmm. strong, yes, the enemy has really set it up. Mm-hmm. He has set it up really good, mm-hmm. in his favor. I'm sure that people think I sound a little loco because...
We do, to people who don't know Christ.
It's true. Yeah. I sound loco to people who do know Christ.
That's so true, too.
It feels offensive, you know? Like, so, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I think, like, you know, some people are like, girl, no. What are you talking about? My kids are just, they're just being kids. Well, have you cast out the spirit of, have you tried it? They could just be being kids, but like, have you tried it? Because every mother will tell you on Sunday morning when they pack up their car to go to church, it is chaos. Mm. It is it's an attack on families, girl. Chaos. Ask any mother what their morning was like.
Yeah.
It'll be somewhere. The eggs burnt. The kids were fighting over things they never fight about. I didn't have any clean underwear. Just, you know, I woke up with a sty. You know, like, you just never know. It is chaos. You know?
That's a word, yeah.
It seriously isn't so... Yeah, it has left me open to that kind of stuff. And I'm really grateful for that, because when the idea of talking in tongues was talked about at our church, it didn't really seem all that crazy, because it is also something that people of other beliefs are doing, and they sound crazy to us, but it's working for them.
Yeah. You know? I think as my faith deepens, things that I once thought were crazy, I start to understand it more. It's being revealed to me in a deeper way. I remember when we were in church and we're going over praise and worship. And Ron really opened my eyes to maybe they're worshiping based on how much God has showed up in their life.
Yes, and yes.
It was an aha moment for me, like, whoa, they're praising based on how much God's done for them and the truth that he's revealed to them. Yes. And it was just a moment where I was like, wow. And it really improved my praise and worship life. So
yes, and also helps, because judgment's a hard one. That one's a hard one to get rid of. We judge for a lot of reasons. And when we did that Bible study on comparison, like, it unleashed something, like it broke a chain. I realized that judgment and comparison are the same thing.
Oh my goodness.
Thus, they're like hand in hand. So when I was like, I don't judge anymore, I've been sanctified. I was really just comparing whether I'm less than somebody or better than somebody, whether my way is better. When you see people worshiping and they're wailing and they're loud, or you see people get up and sprint in a circle, you're like, who is that? You know, because these thoughts come up, you know, you're absolutely, like, someone get your auntie, you know, these thoughts come up, you know, but have you paused? The Proverbs tells over and over to pause and ponder. Have you paused, pondered, and prayed? What did God do for them? Amen. Maybe you should go ask.
Amen. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Someone shared with me, just a random woman decided to share this with me at church. And she was like, I prayed and waited for years, 25 years. She didn't tell me even what she was talking about. She was like, I just prayed and waited for 25 years. And I got these checks in the mail. And now I'm well cared for. I'm just telling you to wait. She's like, wait on the Lord. And I was like, what? Like, it gives me like chills to think about, because it just felt like such a word from God. We wait. We pause. We ponder. We pray. We wait.
We wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord.
We wait on the Lord. Yes.
Like our prayer devotional. We have to. We keep praying. We keep praying.
Yes. We pray without ceasing. Yes. 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 Yeah. All that stuff was a good setup. I come into church and I don't feel. That stuff would have made me disconnected from my community. And that's what that is. That's the enemy following you into church. Because I don't know what that lie is, that the enemy can't walk onto holy ground. He ain't got feet.
Yeah.
He can come in on your back, piggybacking, you know?
Yeah.
He can come in and talk to you from outside the church. Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't have to be right there. Yeah. You know? There's no way that, you know, he goes to and fro and here and there, like it says in the Bible. Yeah. And he's, all, you know, he's working on all of us. He's doing a lot of things. He can follow you into church and whisper in your ear. Mm-hmm. Why does she look so crazy?
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
Look at her makeup just on the floor. The floor is dirty. Like, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. She should do that at home. Like, no one wants to see that. Mm-hmm. Just, it disconnects you from your community.
Exactly.
So, I'm really grateful that I still have some of that stuff because I'm human and I've been taught some crappy stuff. Yeah. I'm not, like, holier than thou.
It's walking in that humility.
Yeah, I have been humbled.
Mm-hmm. Every time I get humbled, ooh, it hurts. But I'm like, okay, yeah.
Humbled, girl. Humbled. And I have a fear of the Lord these days. God. Yes.
Put me in my place.
But yes, I have a fear of the Lord. You ask and he will give it to you. You better be careful what you are asking for, girl. Because you don't ask for humility. God will sit you down. He'll lay you down. And you'll just be on the floor.
Girl, I asked for self-control and patience this year. I
are you wrecked? Because
I'm wrecked.
Wrecked. Because God doesn't like give you that stuff overnight. He can do anything he wants. But what he does is he reveals to you why you got the problem.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gives you a million reasons to try. And then you're failing. And you're like, what is up with me?
Yeah, you
know?
He just give it to you. He gives you situations. He gives you circumstances.
God does not release anything he knows we cannot take care of. Mm-hmm. Can you responsibly act? God's not just gonna like give it to you. The kingdom is set up and we show God. That's why we don't get blessings released until we can show God our commitment, our devotion. Yeah.
Faith without works is
dead. Yes. Yes. And that's not talking about salvation.
Yeah.
Just saying. We're
just
gonna
clear that saved.
Yes, you are saved.
But we also have to do our part in general. But we don't earn God's love.
No.
Through our works. That's not how we earn it.
There is a verse in the Bible that says, like, I think it's that quote, but in Greek. It's like, faith without works is dead. There's a word there that literally means, like, doo-doo rags. Mm-hmm. Doo-doo rags. In the Greek, it's talking about anyone who can, like, boast, lest any man can boast. Mm-hmm. That's the part that it's talking about, right? God thinks that, like, if you're using your works to prove your worth to him, it's just as bad as doo-doo rags. He don't want it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Your toilet paper that you flush is how God, that's how God feels
you
about it.
You can't earn it.
No.
He loves you.
You cannot earn it. It is
a
gift.
My works is because I love him.
Yes. The Bible is a book about God redeeming his people for his glory.
Amen.
The works here are for the expansion of his kingdom, and that's what he wants from us. But it's hard. We all come to the Bible with different stuff. And that's another perk. I came to Christianity. I came to laying my life down for Jesus when I truly believed that God loved me and was good. If I had come before I had worked on that, when I read the Bible, it'd be through a very different lens. Mm-hmm. There are people in my life who were taught to fear the Lord when they were young, but were never taught the other stuff. So when they read the Bible, they're scared. They're scared of God. You know, they're scared of God's wrath. But if you don't have a general understanding of the kingdom, if you haven't read a lot of Bible, different books in the Bible, depends on what your pastor's preaching. There's a lot of things that can kind of...
A lot of things that contribute. Because you can read one scripture and you can take it totally out of context.
Out of context. Mm-hmm. Yes. There is a verse that's always quoted. Romans 8:28. I'm going to start on 26 because this is why the context is important. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Verse 26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Mm-hmm. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. It keeps going. For those who are called according to his purpose.
Amen. I love that scripture.
I love that scripture. But it gets...
Sometimes I get confused with that scripture too, because you have to pray. And I pray, right? Mm. We're supposed to pray. Mm. The only way we can have that relationship is by having that conversation with God. But when it says the Spirit intercedes for what we don't speak, it's also, I also get confused with that. Like, he's also praying on my behalf, right?
Yeah.
So I always get confused, like, do I have to say it? Like, I'm going to say things, but, like, is he already interceding too? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think we have to say anything. I don't think we have to say anything, but if we don't, then how do we have an intimate relationship with God?
Right.
You know, because the Spirit inside of us is from God. Only the Spirit can search the mind of God. Like, it tells us that. But it's up to us to have that relationship. And the deeper our relationship is, the more the Holy Spirit and our mind are in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there are times when I'm like, I am overwhelmed. I don't know what to do, Lord, but this is not working. I can't. I don't know what I'm doing right now, mm-hmm. God. Like, mm-hmm. I can't even think straight. I can't think about naming a spirit to cast it out. I cannot think about who I'm going to pray for because I want to pray for me. Should I pray for my kids? Should I pray for the car? Should I? I'm, like, stressed.
That's when he intercedes. That's, and all we do, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we I'm call, like, yeah, we call in the name. Yes. Thank God for the spirit because...
I know.
Thank God. Yeah. I love the Bible because we think about the lamb going for a sheep, like the lost sheep, right? The shepherd will find you.
He left the 99.
Left the 99 for the one. Yeah. I think about when I look at the Bible, I know the Bible is a story of God redeeming his people for his glory. But I also see God is also the father. He's many things. He's a father. And I think about how hurtful it must have been. I don't know if God experiences emotions like we do. Mm-hmm. But he must have been pretty upset because he reprimanded his people many times.
He does have emotions. It says he became angry.
Yes, right. Know? So, like, mm-hmm. I don't know if he would be hurt because he knows the end.
Yeah.
Right? But can you imagine, like, your children constantly turning away from you? Mm-hmm. And as the father, I would imagine that he wants nothing more than to have communion with us.
Yeah.
And he set it up so that we can freely do that. Mm-hmm. He took away every single possible obstacle. He even gave us a Holy Spirit that prays when we don't know how.
Yeah.
Every single possible obstacle has been removed for communion with God. Mm-hmm. On his end. Again, Satan runs amok. If we don't pray, then even though there is something praying, we don't have the communion. Mm-hmm. There's no communion anymore.
We have to want it to.
Yeah.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
Seek and you will find.
Yes.
We have to reach out for it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right. And I love that scripture in Revelation where it's like, I'm knocking at your door. Let me in. Jesus is trying to come into you, seeking you. The bridegroom is coming for his bride. When I thought about, like, my husband, and I'm like, how would I feel being a bride? And I think about, like, Jesus, and I think about the communion as a wife, and I think about the tenderness in my heart. Mm-hmm. Always wanting to be close. Feeling alone when he's not around. Just wanting to share everything with him. Trusting his guidance. Like, trusting the things he has to say. There's, like, all these things you have when these people that you choose to be with forever.
Yeah, you're so, submitting, surrendering.
You're, like, building this life.
Admiring, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All of it. Jesus is the bridegroom, mm-hmm. and we are the bride. And mm-hmm. he's come to collect his bride.
Yeah.
What a beautiful mm-hmm. relationship Jesus wants with us.
You met your husband through the program. Mm. Right? Mm. So how did that relationship influence your healing and your growth? Mm.
My husband is such a gift. He really is. God was working on him in preparation so that we could have the life that we have together, right? Because he was in recovery longer than me. He's older than me. He's had some more experience. Then we met and we did the recovery thing together. He has always been a believer of Jesus.
No.
He watched me go through all of my stuff because we met when I got into recovery. So he watched me go through each and everything. And he never shamed me. He never made me feel bad. And I remember when I had decided to do the church thing and to be baptized, I feel like we're closer because we have this shared faith. And when I say something that I read in the Bible or something that's, like, biblical, we align. I feel closer. And I feel, again, when I think about, like, the bridegroom and I think about, like, all the things it talks about in the Bible about a marriage and submitting and things like that, because he's done his work. Because a lot of women are so, it's so hard to submit to someone who you don't trust to lead you. It's so hard to submit to someone who's got issues.
Yeah.
Because how can you trust that you're safe? Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that not only has he done a lot of work, but he continues to do work. And he wants to be a good man, a good husband, a good father. He wants to do what God wants him to do. He has a good heart. It makes it so that it's really easy for me.
Mm-hmm. He's being led by God, which in turn he can lead you.
It makes it really easy. Even when I'm like, you know, like I want to stomp my feet, you know, because I could be like really attitude-y. My delivery is not always gentle and it can be really hard, but I just like truly know that it's okay. And I can't imagine what it would be like to like find Christ and have a husband that does not align.
Yeah.
Not only doesn't align, but has never done any therapy. Mm-hmm. You with a history. Ah, that'd be so hard. This is your husband that you devoted yourself to. There are some things that, like, Jesus calls us to do as, like, believers to people that are not believers. Mm-hmm. I really feel like he carries, like, the heart of Jesus. Aww. He does selfless service all the time. Mm. He always makes it easy for you to be honest. He might be judging on the inside. He wouldn't let you know. Now that I'm, like, on the other side, he's like, yeah, thought that was weird. Now it feels good. It feels good that our family is in alignment. And we can raise young boys up in a household that they know Jesus.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's important.
And everyone has to make a choice on their own.
Yeah. You anyone. Know. Anyone. Yeah. You know, anybody. You still have to make your choice in the end, even if you grew up in it. Like, you have to have your own testimony apart from what your parents taught
you. Yes. Your own relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to turn your own life over. You have to choose to become baptized when you're ready. But at least they'll know. Mm-hmm. And they'll know the love of God.
Exactly. You know? That's what it's about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You set them up for the foundation.
Yeah.
And it's built from there.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know, I remember Pastor Ron was like, when people meet me, I want them to be like, who does he pray to? Who's his God? I want to be a good representation. I want people to see me.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, he's like, he really is living it out. We get to be that for our kids. Yes. Good, loving representations. And it's a good thing for us, like a check. Mm-hmm. Are we being too harsh? What would a loving God do? What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah, he uses all of that.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now that you serve alongside me at church, how has your faith matured, and what does serving mean to you today?
I prayed in January for women that I could do this faith walk with. I want to be able to talk about my beliefs and learn together and learn from people. And that's why I started to serve, because they're not just going to out of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I like that. I love that I get to serve at church, and where we serve, people get to come and ask the questions and get to see a smiling face, and like they get to feel really welcome, which I really like too. When people are new, like, anything can spook them. But it has really taught me to work well with others in a biblical sense.
Yeah.
Because I can work well with others, but if I am applying biblical principles, if someone is annoying me or whatever, I bring it to the Lord. And I ask the Lord to work on me. Mm-hmm. Am I practicing being humble? If someone is irking me, it's always they're irking me, girl. That's always like the response, right? It's like, stay away from me. You irked me, right? Like, that's always the thing that comes up, you know? I'll pray, God, let me be taught. Like, I don't want to be right here. That prayer has helped me so much. And I only learned that through service. Because you come up against a lot of different people, you know? And there's so many people around us serving that have been doing this thing for so long. Now, length of time doesn't necessarily mean mature Christians, you know this, but even though they may not be like quote-unquote mature, if you've been doing this a long time, you gotta have something to share.
Yeah.
There's no way you don't. I don't ever want to be holier than thou.
Yeah.
I never want to be that way ever, even if that person isn't quote-unquote mature, and I am.
Yeah.
If that, whatever that means, I don't know how I'm ever gonna be mature. I have, like, been able to pray through that stuff, and God has been able to reveal things to me, and I just feel like it has really given me, like, the insight of value for service. Because, you know, some people are like, church is not God. Like, that's not your relationship with God. It's church. You still have to pray. You don't have to go to church. Especially people who work in service work, who are doing social work or labor work. The people do service in a lot of different capacities. But are you serving the Lord's church? It's hard to find value when you're tired and you're busy. I have found so much value and closeness to the Lord through being around the Lord's people.
Yeah, no, it's true. It creates community. We are called to be in community. And we can't do as great of kingdom work without each other, because we make up the body of Christ together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And when we go out here into, like, regular society, like, outside of church, we don't know who's who. You don't know who shares principles with you. You don't know. There is something that feels good and safe to go into church and kind of like mess up, be taught, and to try and to learn and to find people like you.
Looking back, what advice would you give to someone feeling trapped by their past or confused by different spiritual influences?
Well, it depends. If it was someone who just came to the church and was struggling, I would tell them to get in the Word first. I would tell them to become really familiar with the Gospels because Jesus is Lord. So anything you've been taught, you just kind of have to assume was wrong. There's some things where I'm like, man, that was God.
Yeah.
But God will reveal that to you. And then I would suggest a Bible study with others who are more practiced or whatever you want
to
call it.
To be mentored.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because you need help. Just like a child being unled.
We are a baby.
We are baby Christians. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we need help because we're not meant to do, we don't know what we're doing. And if you are not well versed in the Gospels, it's really easy to be manipulated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where we get cults. Mm-hmm. Because people are, they've lost the message. They've lost it. They're drinking the other Kool-Aid. The one that I thought it
that's
was.
The purple Kool-Aid.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, for real. That one's using Red 40. It's not the blood.
That one's not the blood.
We've been bathed in his blood. That's the wrong one, you know? And then, because then when you say things to them like, God called you, like, mm-hmm. you think this was an accident? Or when they're like, oh God, like, I'm so depressed and I feel like a piece of shit because I can't get this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how's your prayer life? Mm-hmm. Have you talked to the Holy Spirit? Do you know what it's like to have a relationship with the Spirit? If we believe the Bible is true, are you carrying it out? Because if we believe what the Bible says, the Bible tells us that we are not pieces of shit. The Word is life. Mm-hmm. It is healing life. Jesus is the way. But you need to read his Word.
The Word is God. John 1:1. The Word was with God.
Yes,
and the Word
was
God.
Yep, that's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. It's so important. The Gospels is so good, like for babies. Yeah. You know?
Every time, even, you know, now, I'll read them and be like, wow.
June.
Why are you so good?
Like, so good. Yes. I will give you water and you will never thirst again. I think about that all the time. You know, like he is the water and the well.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And just the Word in general. Sometimes we're called to books and we don't know why. I remember when I was like a fresh baby, I've never read the Bible before. I got saved. The book of Ruth, like, I don't know why, but I couldn't stop getting Ruth out of my mind. And so I read Ruth. And I was like, wow. And then the next week, we went through Ruth. And I was like,
okay.
This is happening to everybody else, you know?
Are you going through this?
Yeah. Did you hear about Ruth last week? You know? Because I was like, it can't just be me, you know? It's got to be other people that happens to, you know? Yeah, yeah. And I remember when Pastor went through Ruth, it was nothing like what I thought I was reading. Because we need pastors to pastor us.
Amen.
Now, if it was someone who was confused, maybe someone who is interested but not really ready to jump ship. Because people that are not even considering coming, the conversation would be very short because they're easily spooked. They're like coyotes.
Yeah.
You like look at them and they're like, bah! You know? They're just like, you know? Yeah. Like they're just because they're jacked up. They got all the things. And they also think that they are the reason why they're successful. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, I'm pretty sure God saved your life a few times, girl. I would probably just ask them, like, can who you're praying to save you? Like, really? Even if we're not talking about salvation like you and I know. Could that crystal save you? I'm pretty sure you had an experience where you needed to thank a God. Can that God really save you? You know?
Oh, that reminds me of Elijah again. How do you say Baal? Baal?
Baal, yeah.
When they're worshiping him and Elijah, they're on Mount Carmel. Mm. They're like, okay, call on your God. Call on him.
Girl, I want to do it so bad. Because I guarantee you God would be like, got it. You know?
Yeah, and the minute Elijah's like, all right, God, bring your power down.
Dude.
In your name.
God loves miracles.
Light the fire.
And so, yeah, I would really like ask them provoking questions. What has that done for you? Like, is there something in your life that you feel like has never come to fruition? Mm-hmm. Is there something? Have you tried praying to Jesus? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes in the pagan community, and this I think is another like little nugget of God, people used to hate Jesus. Now people are like, yeah, Jesus is cool. He was like an anarchist. Right? He was like against the government and he spoke up for his people. I can identify with that.
Yeah.
Which is a very minimalized version of Jesus. Yeah. You know, it's a very like, that's kind of insulting. But for people who are so hardened to the idea, start to be softened when they can understand that if Jesus was real, that he probably would have been a cool dude.
Yeah.
And that lets people come. People are so offended by the way we talk about Jesus to some people. They're like, that's, he is more than that. He is, you know, and I think that's good because I think the same thing too. But God is not offended.
Yeah.
God warns us. Jesus warns us about being offended. Being offended lets the enemy in.
Yeah.
And I would probably invite them to come with me.
Yeah.
You know, I really would. If they were on the fence, I would just invite them to come with me.
Come to church.
Yeah, come with me. Yeah, you know, because I think more people than we know want to come and are scared to come.
Yeah.
Because they feel embarrassed, because they feel alone. Maybe their family would judge them. Maybe they think they're unworthy. Maybe they are, I mean, who knows? Who knows?
So many things.
So many things. There's a lot of strongholds that Satan has set up in their mind. Mm-hmm. You know, so many. Yeah. And God has worked on it enough to get them here. Yeah. We have to embrace them and let them kind of squirm and worm around, you know? Mm-hmm. Be like, that's right, you want to come back?
Yeah.
You know, you want to go get lunch? Mm-hmm. Just keep inviting them because we are not the shepherd.
We are not.
We're not the shepherd.
We lead them in the way that God wants to use us.
Yes, yeah, we are just doing what we're
called. I'm a vessel.
I'm just a vessel. Yeah, you know, like, we can't save them. Mm-hmm. We cannot give them the relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And all the scripture and all of the stuff is not going to do it for them. They have to have it themselves.
Yeah.
And we just have to have a loving space for them to do it, you know?
We are the church.
Yes.
So we should walk around as though we are.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Are there scriptures or promises from God that have been anchors for you through this entire journey?
Oh my gosh. Romans 6, 7, and 8, all of the stuff that it talks about there were such anchors. I think about the water in the well.
Yeah.
I think about that story a lot, about God meeting this woman. Because I can relate to her, right? Has a lot of shame. Jesus made sure he knew how risky it was to talk to the Samaritan woman mm-hmm. in broad daylight. Mm-hmm. And he still came to her. And so that whole story, I think about that story a lot. I think about the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf a lot. I think about in Revelations when Jesus is knocking at the door and will you answer? Mm-hmm. I think about how Jesus instructed us to follow the commandments.
Yeah.
And above all, love one another as your neighbor. Yeah. Every week I put a scripture up on my fridge for my family. It's just like out there. We could stop and read it. It's there. I read it. So this week it's be angry and do not sin. Sit on your bed and ponder.
Ponder.
Yeah. That girl. Ponder.
It's true.
Be like, I gotta go ponder. You know? And be like, is that in alignment with the Lord?
Amen.
Am I acting in alignment? It's really hard. Also, too, I think about all of the scripture about repenting. Mm-hmm. About how important it is to repent. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it teaches us humility.
Yeah.
I think it brings us closer to God to like admit our wrongs out loud.
Yeah, taking accountability.
Yes, it helps change our heart posture. It says that like he only I think they were to use reproof, which translates to challenging who you are, your beliefs and your actions. Like he only does it to those he loves. I repent as much often, not because I feel like a bad person, but because I know that we are instructed to do so and that it's important to God.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just pray like, Lord, I repent for anything that I have thought or done today, knowing or unknowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, please forgive me, like in Jesus' name, you know? So those are the things that I think about a lot. Those are the things that are on my mind a lot and really shape, you know, generally what's going on in this season.
Yeah, in this specific season.
Yeah.
And being present in it and letting him teach you.
Yeah, because it... I'm telling you, one day you'll pick up the Bible and they'll give you a fresh word and you're going to be off and running.
Yeah.
In a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be a book name, a word, like sanctification. That's a
good. Yeah.
on a spiral. Yeah, yeah. You know, that took me somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today and being a part of my podcast.
Yeah.
And with everyone, I end with a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing Allie on today. Thank you for your spirit being among us and speaking through us, and for all the ways that you've taught us. Thank you so much for Allie's testimony and the ways that you've brought her through her life and that you've been in every detail. Thank you so much that she can now lead her family, her kids, in a way that represents you, Lord. And I pray that this episode touches anyone that you want it to that need to hear it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. It has been such a blessing and an honor. Whether many people or no one hears this, Lord, I am so grateful to testify in the name of Jesus. Lord, let me be a true testimony in your name, Lord. I want to change in your name. I want to bless those who may feel like they're not enough, like maybe God doesn't hear their prayers. I want them to hear in my testimony, Lord, that you are always listening, and that just because they cannot see you, that you are still there. We walk by faith, not by sight, Lord. Let me touch someone's heart who's on the fence. Let me be the one who can speak some truth into someone's ear. Let this podcast make it, Lord, where you need it to go. And thank you for allowing me to be a vessel. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.